Today is Christ the King Sunday. Our Holy Scripture lessons are from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and verses 20 through 24. Psalm 95, verses 1 through the first part of verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 28. And the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Today's message is titled, The Son of Man in Heavenly Glory. We begin with the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, at verse 11. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I'll bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And I'll bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in this land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Now at verse 20. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place one over them, one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends our reading from Ezekiel, Psalm 95, beginning of verse 1. Come! Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Here ends our reading from Psalm 95. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 20, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Here ends our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. And this is Jesus continuing in the parables of Matthew 25 of the coming age. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther and ours. And a few moments ago, together, we also prayed a prayer written by Martin Luther, a prayer of Luther's, and a prayer for us as we prayed it together as this morning's prayer of the day. Again, these are the words we prayed. And may this happen in this moment in the presence of the living God as we worship. Eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your grace that we eagerly and thoroughly study the Holy Scriptures and seek and find Christ in them and through them have eternal life. Help us in this, dearest God, in your grace. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. I mean, dearest God, eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us grace. Why? So we study the Holy Scriptures. Why study? So we seek and find Christ in them, and through them have eternal life. Digging into the Scriptures to find Christ and eternal life. Have eternal life. This morning, our Holy Scripture readings began with the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's name means strengthened by God. Ezekiel lived in Jerusalem. He grew up in Jerusalem and he was training as a priest at the temple. Around 597 BC, Ezekiel was taken amongst the second group of captives to Babylon. King Jehoiakim was also taken captive at that time. This is the recording from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning of verse 9. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In the spring, King Nebuchadnezzar sent for him and brought him to Babylon together with articles of value from the temple of the Lord. And he made Jehoiakim's uncle Zedekiah king over Judah and Jerusalem. Notice the character of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He was only 18 years old, and he reigned only 3 months and 10 days. He did evil. This is how the book of Ezekiel begins, the writings of the prophet. Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kebar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was upon him. In Babylon, in exile, 30 years old, Ezekiel's called by the Lord to be prophet. The hand of the Lord was upon him in the years about 592 B.C., and a verse that gives us an insight into the book of Ezekiel is Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. And it really gives us a deep insight into our God, the living God. God says, "Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn! Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?" Turn, it means to repent. Turn. Return to the Lord your God. Were many messages the Lord God gave to the prophet Ezekiel. Prophecies of destruction fill chapters 1 through 24. Chapters 25 through 32 are prophecies of God's judgment on the nations. Chapter 33, we just heard that verse calling Israel to repent. And then beginning with chapter 34 through chapters 48, prophecies concerning the restoration of Israel, which will come in the future. Ezekiel 34, we heard a portion of this morning in our lessons. God is denouncing Israel's leaders. They were false shepherds. They were caring for themselves and not for the people. These leaders, they ate well, were well clothed. In other words, they were getting fat off of the people they were supposed to be caring for. As these shepherds failed to do what they were supposed to do, God Himself says He will be their shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." More than that, God will place one shepherd over them all. And this is the description. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 23. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. It means it will be done. Now, at the time of this prophecy, King David has long since been dead. So this does not literally mean David when you hear that name, David. Instead, it's a designation, a very common designation of Messiah, Christ. For the Messiah is a branch, is an offspring of David. And one day there will be a gathering of the whole flock under one shepherd. The gathering of the sheep will happen under this one shepherd. It will happen, for the Lord said, I have spoken. And the prophet Ezekiel is recording the words of the Lord for us. This image of shepherd and sheep is repeated often through the Holy Scriptures. As Luther prayed and we pray today, study the Holy Scriptures, seek and find Christ. Here in Ezekiel 34, we find Christ. Christ is that one shepherd, and we know Christ is the good shepherd from studying the Scriptures. John chapter 10, we hear of Jesus as the shepherd, and specifically he tells us why he is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking to us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now down to starting to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. What a huge contrast between this good shepherd and the leaders that Ezekiel writes about and the Lord living God prophesies against, that the Lord describes as bad shepherds, as ones who use the people for their own gain, whereas the good shepherd gives his all, his very life for the people, for the sheep. Taking or giving? They're opposites. Look and see the one who gives and keeps giving. A good shepherd he is, for the good shepherd gives his own life for the sheep. We have Psalm 23 of the good shepherd, and the images of Psalm 23 are etched in our minds. They're emblazoned in our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. And then there's all these images that follow of green pastures, still water, restoring my soul. My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The good shepherd watching over. And one day, and that one day will come, we will be in the house of the Lord forever. Here again, we find Christ. Now turning our attention to Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We're to do this. We're to come. We are to bow down in worship. We are to bend the knee. Don't be obstinate in heart, mind, and soul. Bend the knee before the Lord God. Bend the knee before the rightful Lord and great King above all gods. The Lord, as Psalm 95 shows us, the Lord is the rock of our salvation. How shall we respond? Don't be stubborn in heart. Bow down. Bend the knee. Why do this? Because He is our God. Did you hear that personal relationship there? He is our God. And we are the people. That personal relationship. We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. That's in verse 7 of Psalm 95. He is our God, this God, Our God is the great Lord, the great God. Psalm 95 begins, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Again, here we find Christ. For Christ is our salvation. Christ is our King. Christ is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. For Christ is the good shepherd. We are under the care of Christ, the good shepherd, the King. We live in a broken world that is full of human beings who do what is evil in the eyes of the Lord. Human nature has not changed through the eons. The wickedness that brought judgment of the floods eons ago is still happening these days in one manner or another. All the way back to Cain and what he did to his brother Abel. Human beings created in the image of God doing such wickedness through the years. The sin nature of man and the sin nature of humanity has not changed through these thousands of years. Created in the image of God, doing such wickedness through these thousand years to this very day to other humans created in the image of God. This sinful nature of man, this sin nature of humanity, it must be dealt with. And the good shepherd is the one described as laying down his life for the sheep. He is the one that deals with this. The Christ, he, Christ, has laid down his life for us, his sheep. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And as we know, Christ rose on the third day, just as the sacred scriptures testify. Now pulling in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find this testimony beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, now brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Do you hear this? Christ is rooted in historical events. And these events root the faith in history. As Paul continues in his letter to this church at Corinth, the believers in Corinth, now 1 Corinthians 15, continuing at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And now we go down to verse 20, 1 Corinthians verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Our faith, the faith of the church, is rooted in history, because Christ is a man of history. And now we turn to Matthew 25. And this man of history speaks his own words, and Matthew records them and passes them on to us in his testimony. Matthew testifies of what will come. And this is Christ's words, Jesus speaking to us. Matthew 25, now beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will gather before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put sheep on His right and the goats on His left. 82 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man. Son of Man is actually the title Jesus uses most often for Himself. When Jesus, who is Christ, comes again, He's coming again. He speaks of it. So we turn to Acts chapter 1, beginning of verse 7. Acts 1, verse 7, as we begin. He, and this is the risen Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, He said to them, this is disciples, He's saying, it is not for you to know the day, times, or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After Jesus, who is Christ, said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men in white, dressed in white, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you're seeing Him go into heaven. We don't know the day. We don't know the time, but we know with certainty Christ, this very same Jesus, the crucified and risen Jesus who is Christ, will come again. This coming again will be with all His heavenly glory. Nothing hidden, no mere glimpse is what took place on the Mount during Jesus' transfiguration. The Son of Man coming in His glory with all His angels. And what will He do? He will come and sit on the throne in heavenly glory. This will happen. This will happen. This is still to come. It will happen. Christ will sit on that glorious throne. And you know who sits on the throne is King. And this King is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's written in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. It will come to be. Christ in all the fullness of His goodness. Christ in all the fullness of His holiness will shine forth as He comes upon the clouds with all His angels. He will come to judge the nations, and at that time a great separation will take place, a separation that goes into all eternity. Those who are in Christ, there's nothing to fear. Christ, in the finished work on the cross, has paid the redeeming price in full. Your sins are forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. Those in Christ, there is nothing to fear. For us, when Christ is in us, our attitude and our actions, for the least of these, will flow from the love of Christ and with the compassion of Christ. Years ago, while I was at seminary, I was having lunch with a professor in a sandwich shop up the street, down the street, up the street from seminary. And in walks a disheveled man. Obviously, you can see he's a man who's of the streets. And he's walking towards the counter. I mean, you can tell by every appearance, yes, he lives on the streets. And he's walking towards the counter to buy something to eat, to get something to eat. And as he's walking to the counter to get in line, to get something to eat, he stumbles. He falls. He knocks a chair over, pushes the table, and everybody's eyes, they turn to see what's taking place. But just as that action is happening, immediately jumps up this professor to help. With such a gentleness and a kindness, he reaches down and lifts this man up. Lifts this man up because he sees this man is full of human dignity and made in the image of Christ. He treats him with such grace and dignity and compassion. It's an indelible image of what Jesus says here. What you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. And this flows from living the living faith in your heart. That's the difference of the right and the left. Is Christ alive and flowing from your heart? Has the crucified and risen Christ in your heart taken such root that you are a different person by His grace? With the exception of Judas, the disciples became very, very different people. I mean, Saul became Paul. And through the ages, men and women, young and old, have been dramatically transformed by this good shepherd's grace and the eagerly looking towards the day that the Son of Man would come in the fullness of His glory. And we too are looking to the day that the Son of Man will come in the fullness of His glory. Search the Holy Scriptures. Study the Holy Scriptures. Seek Christ, and you will find Him all through the Scriptures. And your life will be dramatically transformed by His grace. Through the Holy Scriptures, you will find Christ, and through them you will come to know more and more the living God, and have that inheritance, that eternal life. For the Good Shepherd is the King. And this King has laid His life down for you. And He took His life back up for you. He is Christ, the crucified and risen one, who is coming again. And then on that day you will hear these words, that great day to come, Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And you will enter into eternal presence and live out eternal life in the presence of the living God. That is who's coming. The Son of Man in all His glory is coming. You have no fear, for you are redeemed by His grace. Now live it out and show it to the least of these. Amen and amen.